Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Logan from Cigar Federation, hosting another episode of Cigar Chat. As you notice, Rob isn't here, and I'm very excited about it because I actually get to intro myself, and I don't have to listen to him talk about how I'm down in the green room and all this nonsense. So I have a special guest, or actually two special guests. First, we have Matt, moderator on Cigar Federation, stepping in for Rob, much better looking and cooler. Rob, how's it going? Excuse me, Matt, how's it going, buddy?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you helping me out because you know I can't do more than one thing at a time on such short notice. And if you have to go away and the baby starts crying, I completely understand.
No worries.
Cool. So, more importantly, we have James from Black Label Trading Company here with us tonight. So, James, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So, to give everyone a little bit of background, Black Label is a new company, which I would say kind of quasi-launched at IPCPR this year. So, James, before we get into the story about, you know, Black Label, how it came to be, your six current blends, you're kind of an adventurous person. So tell us what you do for a day job, besides make cigars.
Yeah, so aside from cigars, I also own and operate an adventure travel company called No Limit Expeditions. We basically specialize in taking people to very far off the beaten track, remote areas of the jungle, specifically in Guatemala and Belize. We do Africa as well. We kind of look at the, like I said, the most off the beaten path places we can find. We use Land Rover Defenders. It's all off-road, really tough tracks to get people out there. So basically we specialize in getting people out of their comfort zone. We've been doing that for quite a long time, which is one of the reasons that brought me to Central America and kind of fueled my passion for Nicaragua and cigars as well.
So very cool. So when I was reading, I think a line that you guys use, this isn't like a, you know, a foo-foo kind of tour. Like when you guys get stuck, you make people get out and actually push and dig themselves out. So, you know, was that, is that just your personality? Is that something that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen a tour where you have to go pay money and then go do work. You know what I mean? It's different. It's cool, but I'm just kind of, where did that idea come from?
You know, it's just a lot of people want to be, they want to do the adventure. Not only do they want to ride along, they want to drive the truck. They want to, you know, be hands-on. They want to take part in what they're doing, not just be a passenger. So it's kind of came about from our clients. You know, our clients really want to be hands-on. And so the minute, you know, a truck gets stuck, they want to hop out and get out there with the machete and, you know, clear the path and clear the vines and pull the winch cable and do all that fun stuff. You know, I think for our clients, that's really what makes it a lot of fun for them to do.
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah, and everybody gets to drive the truck, so we do driver training as well. So, you know, it becomes basically, you know, the client's goal and responsibility to get the trucks from point A to point B, which people really love and get excited about.
That's cool. It's very cool. It definitely sounds interesting. And I'll be honest, you'll probably never see me because I don't like to do anything physical whatsoever. So you won't be seeing me. But on to something more important. So you kind of alluded to Black Label, you know, your love of Central America, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. You know, tell all the viewers, you know, who probably aren't familiar with you guys just because you guys are so new, you know, how did Black Label, you know, come to be?
You know, it came about, been a smoker for, you know, 15 years or so. And I've always played with this idea of, you know, doing cigars, and the more time I spent in Central America, that just seemed to make more sense. And then actually my partner, Eric Stockman, was a client on one of the No Limit trips. And he and I got to talking and became friends through that. And then the more and more time we spent in Nicaragua, the more we met people in the industry, spent time with producers and growers. You know, we came up with this idea, and over 3 years we decided to kind of develop it and see where it went. And, you know, at the end of it, you know, Black Label is what came out of it. So
very, very cool. So, I mean, I know Eric wasn't able to join us tonight, but I met him at IPCPR. How did you make the jump from, you know, was it just visiting Nicaragua for work, or was it, you know, down there on cigar trips? You know, how did you go from, you know, cigar lover to cigar manufacturer, you know, into Nicaragua, you know?
And, you know, it started with No Limit Trips the first few times I was in Nicaragua. Explored kind of the whole country, really fell in love with it, started spending more time there, and then kind of ventured into the tobacco region, started hanging out in Esteli a bit and meeting people, talking to a lot of people. And then my own personal vacations basically ended up heading to Nicaragua all the time. So, but really enjoyed the tobacco region, enjoyed being hands-on and seeing where, just from a, as a consumer and as a lover of cigars, seeing where they came from and seeing, you know, the entire process and falling in love with that process is really what fueled me to kind of take the next step.
Okay. No, makes sense. So, you know, 3 years, you know, I know companies, they're different than you because, they come to market in, you know, a couple of months and they're not around. You know, what was the 3 years? Was it doing the background research, getting started? Was it, you know, getting your ducks in a row? Was it just not the right time? What took the 3 years?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a lot of things. I think it was, we really wanted to develop the brand. We wanted it to really stand out. We wanted it to be different. And then for myself, I really wanted to be a part of developing the cigars, not just coming up with, you know, cool names and interesting packaging, but I really wanted to be a part of the creation of the cigar, of the blends. And so I wanted to spend time basically in Esteli and places in Vega and meet the people, see where it came from and be very hands-on and understand the process. You know, I wanted to work one-on-one with a blender, not just have somebody tell me what makes a great cigar. You know, so it took a long time to understand that process and understand exactly, you know, how to develop the cigars that we wanted to make.
No, it's very cool. So, you know, and I think that's a little bit different from a lot of people who start, you know, their initial companies. You know, they don't sound necessarily as hands-on with, you know, as hands-on in the process, at least at the beginning, because there is such a high learning curve. So, and, you know, in terms, and we'll go over here your blends in just a second, but in terms of your cigars, I mean, what percentage of the blending was, I mean, obviously you're not physically in there rolling the cigar, maybe you are, but, you know, what percentage of, you know, let's tweak this, add a little Herreros, add a little Seco here. How much of that was you versus, you know, someone that you had working with you?
You know, I'd say we're pretty lucky with our blender because he, basically I have the ability to tell him exactly what I want out of a cigar in the best descriptive words I can use to describe taste, flavor, strength, all of those things. And he really understands basically my palate and flavor profile that I like and what we want out of the cigars. And that took a long time to do. But I would say we work 50-50. I mean, I can tell him exactly we're thinking of a new blend. We want it to be this strength. These are the flavor profiles we want to hit on. And, you know, we work hand in hand in developing that from the start to the finish. So, and he can do a few samples and I'll smoke them and, you know, I can tell him, you know, we need to change this, we need to change that, you know, soften this. So we're pretty cohesive in terms of the development of the different blends. So okay. We're really lucky in that way that he gets exactly what we want and we're able to convey to him specifically what we want the blends to be.
Okay. So if you can share with us, you know, who are you working with and what factory is producing all the Black Label cigars?
We work with Tabacaria Santiago.
Okay.
And basically what we've done with them, they own quite a few plantations, so we source the majority of our tobacco from them. They have plantations in Esteli and in Condega. So we work very hands-on with them, with their tobacco, and with their blend master. You know, so he's been in the business for about 30-plus years. And the partnership that we have with them is we were very specific that, you know, we make so little cigars that we wanted to make sure that each one of our cigars was rolled to the best that it could be. So we only work with four of their rollers, very small team for us, and we hand chose those people basically on their years of experience and, you know, some of the other people that they rolled for before. So
okay. Let's get into your cigars. So if everyone out there watching live, just go to blacklabeltrading.com and then go to the cigars page and you'll be able to see what I'm about to scroll through. But let's just take, for those that don't know, there's six kind of, I guess, initial blend releases or six cigars that you're releasing with. Let's just kind of take them one at a time. So let's kick it off with the Salvation. Tell us a little bit about that cigar.
The Salvation was kind of our idea, basically to be what we consider kind of the perfect middle-of-the-road smoke. You know, something that you go to every day. Medium body. Some people, a heavy smoker, might consider it to be light in body. But Nicaraguan filler, Honduran binder, Ecuadorian sun-grown Habano wrapper, so it's got that nice, leathery, beautiful brown wrapper. But basically the thought behind Salvation was, it was one of those cigars that was one of our first productions, and a lot of people, when they smoke our cigars, they say that the flavor profiles are very different. And Salvation was one of those that we strove for that. We went for a lot of cedar, a lot of leather. Some people almost pick up sort of like a spearmint flavor to it as well. So when we developed that, we knew that we wanted to go for something medium to light, could smoke every day, but we still wanted to keep those very interesting and unique flavors.
Okay. And you said that was the first blend that you came up with? Or one
it
of
was
the
one of the first, yeah. So Salvation and Royalty were the first blends that we started with.
Okay, perfect. Next one, and it's kind of like Lawler, but it's not. So tell us about Lawless.
Lawless is a very cool cigar. People tend to like it a lot. And once again, we went for unique flavor profiles. I think it's what we wanted out of that smoke was for it to start out with a specific flavor profile to be a bit mild, almost like a coffee flavor to it. And then as you smoke through it, we wanted that kind of middle to final third to really have the flavor impact come out. So you get a lot more spice, a lot more richness to it. We decided to go with a unique wrapper on it, the Habano Rosado. It's a very hard wrapper for us to source, especially in the specific color that we wanted it. Once again, a lot of the reason that we make such limited amounts is because the tobacco that we get is in such limited quantities, that wrapper specifically. We have to choose from the exact middle of the pile, basically, to get the rich, nice color that we want out of it. So it's unique in that way, and I think it's overall, out of all of our cigars, is a very unique flavor profile. But we wanted it... Like the name says, it's a little bold, it's a little, it's a nice smoke. It builds up, I think, out of all of ours, it's a little bit on the stronger side out of our flavor profile.
Well, I think your description kind of hit the nail on the head, and one reason we have Matt here is because he's so good looking, but two is because he has smoked every one of your cigars, and actually the Lawless was his favorite when he did his write-up on all of them. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about your experience with the Lawless.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, I should say kind of how this all came about is I kind of came across a Salvation and Benediction sample really kind of when I first started hearing about Black Label. And I smoked them, and for whatever reason, maybe it was how I kept it or you know, the humidity in New Jersey in the beginning of summer, I found the draw to be a bit tight. So I get this email from James' partner, Eric, and he's like, you know, I'm kind of surprised that you're experiencing a tight draw. It's not something we've heard before. It's like, I'd like to, you know, send you a few more samples and have you see if you experience the same problems. And the next thing I know, I've got this package at my door with, you know, the entire line. So I smoked them all and I put the blog up on Cigar Federation. The Lawless was definitely one of my favorite, and James definitely kind of nailed what I liked about it. You know, it's definitely, I prefer a fuller smoke, as most people watching or listening know about me. And it definitely definitely hit that note. And I thought it really, you know, in a lot of cigars I smoke, I find kind of by the final third, you know, maybe I'm maybe I'm smoking too fast. That was Wilson. Maybe I'm smoking too fast. Gets a bit harsh. I think this cigar kind of nailed it in the final third. The power ramped up a little bit for me. I got a bit of sweetness as well. Of all of the cigars, the Lawless was definitely kind of up there for me. It was also interesting, not to kind of change the subject here, but to hear James, what he's heard, what he's felt on the Salvation. I kind of noted that I got a strong sense of pine in the Salvation. And to hear James say, you know, I pick up cedar, and we hear people say that they sense a bit of spearmint. When I think of kind of cedar and spearmint, and kind of, to me, that's kind of like the pine that I sense. Wasn't, you know, the Salvation was a bit lighter for me. Like I said, I'm more of a kind of a fuller cigar smoker, but also a really quality smoke.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to have to pass it to you after every single one, Matt, because you did an excellent job there. I think we just kick Rob off, and we just roll me and you, man.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? Well, well, maybe. I'm sure Rob wouldn't appreciate that. But since he's not here, I'm going to talk as much shit on him as I can. So, James, let's go on to, we went from, real quick, in terms of the Lawless, the name is, I mean, behind, is it the different uniqueness, breaking the law with the profile? Like, you know, where's the name come from on that one?
Well, you know, I think for all the smokes we wanted unique names. What we did was we developed the cigar first, and then we smoked them for a while and talked about, you know, what does it say? How do we feel when we smoke it, you know? And that's kind of how the names kind of came about. And with Lawless, it just kind of made sense. It was kind of a sort of a rebel type smoke, you know, and it just stood out as a good name for it. You know, it just, okay. And like you said, it's a rule breaker. It's a rebel. That's kind of what we felt with the blend. So
it's James Dean of cigars, rebel without a cause.
You know, before we move on, Logan, maybe, you know, one of the things I wondered, I thought the branding overall was just fantastic. And I'm seeing a lot of questions in the chat about, you know, where did the Black Label Trading Company name come from? Where did the branding come from? A lot of people are asking about some of the swag they see on your site and if they could buy it because it looks really cool. So maybe you could tell us, James, you know, where did the concept for Black Label Trading Company come from?
Sure. Our plan basically was we wanted to make the cigars that we wanted to smoke. As consumers, we kind of walk through, you know, the humidor at a local cigar shop, and, you know, you see a lot of labels and things, and Eric and I just felt like nothing really stood out to us. You know, I don't know if it's a generational thing or what it is, but we just felt like there wasn't something that kind of spoke to who we were as individuals, you know. So we wanted a cigar brand that was going to stand out and be individual, you know. So, and we wanted it to be, you know, kind of a little edgy, a little rebellious on the darker side, you know, but still with a nice elegance to it. To kind of develop the Skull and Crown, and it came from there. We wanted it to be something that's appealing to, you know, tattooed up bikers all the way to like your corporate weekend warrior. We wanted people that could relate to the brand, you know, so.
Well, Logan and I won't admit this, but we're corporate weekend warriors, and we both dug it, so.
We are. Yeah, we are. And, you know, but yeah, we won't get into the corporate side.
It's kind of like you said with the Lawless, you know, we wanted it to be something that somebody feels a little rebellious, you know, when they smoke it, and, you know, kind of sometimes, you know, refer to, you know, finding your inner badass, so.
I like it. Turning on your badass, I love it. Let's go to number three. Tell us about the Royalty.
Royalty was our first blend. We knew we wanted to do a Corojo. We played with it back and forth, and how flavor profile-wise, strength-wise, what we wanted it to be. And when we were developing the brand, basically we decided we were going to do the six blends. And basically, you know, we just really wanted to hit different people's palates. You know, so many people have different palates out there. And we felt like since we took so much time with it, that we could really have these six spread across the board to hit all different people's likes. Royalty was set out to hit people's likes on the lighter side. So it's in order of our cigars, it's definitely on the lighter side. We wanted to maintain that nice kind of black pepper, little bit of spice on the back of your palate on the finish that you expect from a Corojo. So started with that, Nicaraguan filler, Honduran blender, and Ecuadorian Corojo wrapper. Once again with the Corojo, we didn't want it too blonde. We wanted to keep that nice, really rich, almost cafe latte color to it. So it took a long time to source the exact wrappers that we wanted. But overall, I think it's I would describe it as a very pretty cigar. You know, in on the nose as well, pre-light, you get a lot of interesting flavors. The number one thing that everyone that's reviewed the cigar has said is that they get rich kind of floral notes, a bit of lavender, which is something that you don't see in a lot of smokes. But once again, it's those unique flavors that we were trying to hit, something that you don't see every day.
Floral notes. Matt, tell us, did you get floral notes and lavender?
Well, I mean, that would imply that my palate was even, somewhat sophisticated. I feel like I'm already repeating myself. I've been on the show for all of 5 minutes at this point, but it is a lighter cigar. I've already talked about how I tend to gravitate more towards fuller cigars. And one thing I think I wrote in my review of these cigars is that, we talked about the branding and how awesome I think it is. For some reason, I went into this not knowing anything about the cigars. I knew what the wrapper and the filler and binder was. But I was expecting, powerhouses. I don't know why. I looked at the cigar and looked at the branding and said, these are going to be, spice bombs. The Royalty is not that. In fact, for a Corojo that I'm, expecting a sweet and spicy mix, I even thought it was, a little on the light side of the typical Corojo, which isn't, a bad thing. It just was a bit different, but definitely a light cigar, something that I could see, someone who prefers that kind of smoke being interested in. I think it would be a nice, I like on a Saturday morning with some coffee. I could see that being kind of the right setting for me for that smoke.
And you don't repeat yourself. Just wait until you've done like 50 episodes of the show. Then you start to repeat yourself, my friend. So do not worry.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, do not worry. So, James, number four, Redemption.
Redemption. So, when we started out, we knew that we wanted to do at least one 100% Nicaraguan smoke, just to kind of highlight everything we loved about Nicaragua, and the quality of the tobacco produced there. Redemption was that first smoke that we did to focus on Nicaragua. It was our first Maduro. We knew we wanted to do at least one Maduro. Basically the flavor profile that we were shooting for was very rich, a creamy smoke, not over the top, but very kind of middle of the road, not mild, but medium to mild. But wanted to maintain throughout that kind of chocolatey richness, creamy smoke production, and fill that flavor profile basically in our range of cigars. Went with Nicaraguan filler binder, aged Maduro wrapper from Condega. And for me, it's one of my favorite smokes that we have. And then to change it up a bit, we decided to try it out in a box press. And to me, the box press and the Redemption is one of my favorite smokes that we've produced.
Okay. Before I pass it to Matt to get his thoughts, for me, it's a little strange. I have not seen too many aged Nicaraguan Maduros. I mean, you have, your Connecticut, maybe, you know, other things, right? What, you know, what inspired you to use a Nicaragua Maduro? Other than you wanted it to be all Nicaraguan, of course.
Yeah, we wanted it to be all Nicaraguan, and we, you know, we highlight, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are doing Nicaraguan Maduros, and we smoked through a lot of wrappers. You know, we tried Brazilians, we tried Mexican San Andres, we tried wrappers from all over, and hands down, we were really happy with what we were getting out of Nicaragua. And with the blend that we came up with, the wrapper just made sense for that smoke. Okay. Kept with the richness, kept with that, that chocolatey, you know, coffee bean type flavor, so.
Okay, cool. Matt, what are your thoughts?
You know, one of the things that I liked about the Black Label cigars was that I thought, you know, going in, you think a Puro, a Nicaraguan Puro, again, maybe this is my own kind of bias based off the branding, whatever, you expect, you know, a powerhouse, a lot of pepper, a lot of spice, and you get some of that with this, but it's milder than that, much milder than that, or what I would expect at least. I think James just kind of spoke to that. You know, got hints of spice throughout, especially on the retrohale, but also got like a coffee. I'm not going to say it was one of my favorites. I didn't have the box pressed. I'm not going to say one of my favorites, but definitely a quality cigar. And what I was getting to originally was, you know, very unique for what I envision a Nicaraguan Puro to be. And I think I found that with most of the Black Label blends. You know, I mentioned about the Corojo before. You know, I have in my head kind of, oh, it's a Corojo, it's a Nicaraguan Puro, this is what it should taste like. And it wasn't necessarily that. I kind of liked that about it.
Yeah, and I mean, overall, that was our goal, you know, is for people to get something different. You know, we wanted our cigars to be different. We didn't want it to feel like, you know, here's cigar A with a different packaging, you know, and yep. I mean, we really wanted it to stand out as when people taste our blends, they know that they haven't had it before, basically. And we want the cigars to stand alone and speak for themselves.
I think they do. You hit that one.
So, yeah, and the next one I'm actually smoking, so I get to take all of Matt's thunder, but tell us about the Benediction.
Benediction is interesting because it was kind of a fluke for us. Benediction was, we had planned on doing 5 cigars to start out with, 5 different blends. And one day we were at the factory, Eric and I, you know, and our blender came up to us and he said, you know, I had this great idea, you know, I want you to try this cigar, you know, and Eric and I, you know, we're like, okay, well, you know, we're not really looking to add another cigar to the lineup, you know, but, you know, we'll take it and try it. And, I got back to Guatemala, Eric got back to the U.S., and, you know, we smoked a couple and, you know, sent him a message, and he, you know, called me up and was like, you know, have you smoked this cigar? And I was like, yeah, you know, it's fantastic. It's, you know, and kind of grew from there. So we were happy to have another 100% Nicaraguan smoke. In the Benediction kind of was born from that. And it's, once again, you know, flavor profile-wise, you're hitting that medium range. It's got a nice richness to it. What I like about it is that you do get some of that Habano sweetness from the wrapper, a little bit of nuttiness to it. So it fit a great flavor profile that we didn't have in the lineup so far.
So, I mean, I think, you know, I'm kind of like Matt, and watch me repeat myself, but, you know, I'm more of definitely a full body smoker for sure. And, you know, I've had several cigars today, and I think this one stands out a lot for me because, you know, usually my palate's nuked by this point, but I can still pick it up, and it's still a satisfying cigar, you know, even though it's kind of a medium body smoke, it's still satisfying. And the nuts and really the citrus is what comes through for me. It's almost kind of like a, kind of an orangey kind of like I mean, I hate to say this, but almost like a key lime. I know that might sound really stupid, but almost kind of like a key lime sweetness to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like it. Matt, what do you think about the Benediction?
So when I was smoking this, Eric tweeted me and said that he thought the Benediction was the lightest blend that Black Label offered. I think his exact tweet said something that, you know, he liked to smoke in the morning with coffee. I didn't get that exactly. Definitely lighter than some of the others. I didn't pick up the citrus that you guys are mentioning. More of kind of a bitter chocolate that turned kind of creamy chocolate. But again, you know, a unique cigar that I enjoyed. I don't want to kind of harp on the same points you guys made.
No, you're good.
I'm
man.
Still getting
you're
used good. To this live radio show gimmick.
Yeah, and we're a podcast now. Can you believe that? We're like, I thought podcasting was dead, but no, man. Check out podcast.cigarfederation.com. I mean, we're hitting all media.
Nice podcast. Plug. Nice.
I know. I just wedged it in there. You know, that's what I do. So, James, we'll wrap it up. The last cigar, number 6 in your lineup, The Last Rites.
Yeah, Last Rites was, I think, our third blend. And this one, we didn't know what to expect out of it. You know, we talked about what we wanted. You know, we did a lot of sampling, came up with Last Rites, smoked on it for a long time. And, you know, it was a little confused. It was a little, you know, shaken up a little bit. We could tell it needed time, and we weren't sure what it was going to be once it did have that time. But what we did is we sat on it for a long time, you know, and kept going back to it. And then finally, after about 8 months, the cigar just showed beautifully. I mean, it was really, once again, a very pretty cigar. You know, it has a really rich depth of flavor to it. I think the flavor profile of this cigar just kind of keeps going and going. You know, as you smoke through it, I think the flavors develop really nicely. Once again, not anywhere over the top, but it does get a bit of spice in there. You know, you get a lot of people say they get some cinnamon in there and some nutmeg, and but really rich, deep chocolate, bitter coffee. And I think as time goes on, The Last Rites is just going to keep developing into really an exceptional cigar. Out of the lineup, hands down, Last Rites is kind of our baby. We've taken the longest with it. We've played with it the most and really tried to refine it into really a cigar that we want to define Black Label. If we had to pick one smoke out of the lineup that kind of defines our brand, it would be The Last Rites. And since we are dealing with such a long aging process with it, we decided to limit the production of it to only 500 boxes a year. And we decided to do it. We played with it in box press as well, which we've been extremely happy with. I think the box press and the smoke just shows beautifully. But yeah, so it's kind of our flagship smoke and something that we really put our hearts into and you know, shows, I think, what the brand is all about.
And I think you told me, James, that the box press of the Last Rites was your favorite. I think you had messaged me that originally.
It is. Hands down, I think it's my favorite smoke. And it's, for me, it was kind of my baby in a sense that this is the smoke that, like, I would want to smoke every day. So, and that was kind of the goal with developing that, is not only does it define Black Label, but from a personal standpoint, this is the kind of cigar that I really want to smoke and that I would choose to smoke every day. So
Matt, you know, we talked, and I know that this one was one of your favorites as well. Tell us a little bit about it. Were you picking up the same notes? I mean, would you describe it the same way? Anything different?
You know, I actually wondered if James was just kind of reading my review off CigarFederation.com because... you know, I apparently get the exact same out of it that he gets out of it. you know, definitely kind of, I called it like an earthy, bitter sweetness kind of, I referenced like black coffee. So I'll tell you, going in, I'd asked around some other people that had tried these cigars, and I was like, you know, what have you thought? And I had universally heard that everyone that had tried the Last Rites was like, this is a great cigar. I still contend that the Lawless was my favorite so far. But I think I noted in my review, I'll have to go back and check, or someone in the chat room can go read it for me, that I imagine that in time, the Last Rites would kind of take over. I just sensed that it was going to kind of grow and the flavors were going to kind of meld into themselves. I think it's going to be a fantastic cigar. Definitely enjoyed it. If the Lawless is my 1A, the Last Rites is my 1B. Very, very enjoyable.
So we'll call it a tie then.
We can call it a tie.
We'll call it a tie.
While we're here, since James, you just touched on it, you know, you said that the Last Rites, you've kind of been sitting on it a bit longer. How long have you been sitting on the Last Rites compared, and how long do you sit on the other cigars or age them before you kind of release them to production?
The regular production, so which is, you know, basically royalty, you know, benediction, salvation, redemption, and lawless, we age for about 5 months. Last Rites, the current release of Last Rites has been aged for about 8 months. And I would urge people, that put Last Rites in their humidor to let it sit for a while, because we've had, some of our first developments of Last Rites, which have been sitting for about 2 years now, and they're just phenomenal. So, I mean, it's great to see it through the progress, you know, as a young cigar, and then age it for a bit longer and try it in a year and a half. All of our regular production, we age for 5 months before we release, and then Last Rites, we're aging for 8 months.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm cutting you off, Logan. I've taken over your show now.
No, you're music to my ears. Overall, man, you're all good. You're all good, brother.
No, I'm gonna pick up some more Last Rites, and I like I said, I envisioned it kind of growing with time, and now you've just sold me even more, James. And if you're listening and you haven't picked any up, I suggest you do, because that could really turn into something.
So that leads me into my next question, is that I see it's actually two part, I guess, is most everything but the Last Rites limited to 1,000 boxes a year. Which, if my math's right, is 40,000. No, excuse me. That'd be what? No, it'd be 20,000 cigars, and then 10,000 for the Last Rites. Why such a low production? I mean, obviously you're producing six different lines out of the gate, but why such a low box count and everything per year?
You know, really, we wanted to be basically as boutique as you can get. You know, we really wanted to have that hands-on focus, you know, with each individual blend that we have. And to do that, I mean, we have to be small. I mean, it's just the way that it works for us to get the quality tobacco that we want. You know, we're, like I said, we're as boutique as it gets. We're two guys making the cigars that we want to make, you know, and that's just kind of where everything fell in line with us to be able to work with the factory we wanted to and to produce the quality that we wanted. We decided to keep it limited. You know, we're not looking to sell a million smokes a year, nor do we want to. So we wanted, you know, even with retailers, I mean, our focus is to be in one retailer, you know, in per city, per state. You know, we really want to keep it small and very focused on people that are focused on boutique brands and that like the cigars and that will push the cigars and steer people towards them and try to introduce them, you know, to everyone. So basically everything we do is on a small, refined level, and we wanted to just keep it that way and make sure that the quality doesn't suffer and that, you know, production is where we want it to be. You know, if we wanted to make more cigars, I think we would look at adding to the lineup rather than going for mass production.
Got it. Okay. No, that makes sense. So I have two questions that I kind of want to ask. And I've kind of already got the answer to one of them that I didn't know before, but I'll kind of ask it again, is that, you know, knowing that you obviously you've been kind of working on this, you have kind of test blends or, you know, from the last rights from almost 2 years ago. One of the questions that I've heard a lot, you know, around Cigar Federation and out on the web is, you know, what was the thought behind bringing kind of six blends to the market kind of at the same time? And now that I know you've been at it for almost 3 years kind of behind the scenes, it makes sense. But, you know, was this kind of an intent? I mean, was there a reason you didn't kind of leave the blends in the hopper and then release them, you know, one every quarter, everything? Why did you bring everything to market at once?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, we've been working on them for a long time. So we've had these smokes around and have been developing them. And, you know, we were happy with all of them, you know, and it seemed like, you know, we know that it seems totally out of the box for us to release, you know, six blends at once. But really, I mean, when we talked about it, we were like, you know, we have such different flavor profiles here, and why not have a cigar that appeals to everybody? You know, everybody has such different palates. And for us, you know, it just made sense. You know, I think and since we are so limited, I mean, who's to say that we're going to make Benediction forever? We may not. You know, we constantly want to keep things changing. So I think that was kind of the idea behind it, is that, you know, we want to, not only are we limited production, but, you know, at some point we may say, you know what, we're done with Salvation, or we're done with Benediction, and this is what's new. So the thought was just to offer the cigars that we wanted to put out there, and we felt confident behind all of them, and we really didn't feel like we could let any of them go, or didn't really feel like we wanted to wait a year to release two more, just because it just didn't make sense to us. If they're good now, then put them out there and let people
then go for it. Yeah, exactly. Go for it. So, you know, in the Vitolas, in all of your blends, there's two Vitolas in each blend, right? There's a 6x60, and then, I might be wrong here, but I feel like it was like a 6x52.
And that's 54.
What? 54?
Yeah. 54, yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So every blend.
You know, it was one of those ideas where, look, we just want to make the cigars and make them good, you know, and I personally don't feel like you need to make every blend in six different sizes. You know, I mean, it's, if the cigar smokes great in a Robusto, make it a Robusto. You know, so we played with a lot of sizes, we played with a lot of Vitolas, and to us, when we smoked the cigars, 6x60s showed really well, and I think a lot of people, when they smoke our 6x60s, they tend to be surprised, because a lot of people think that in a smaller Vitola you get much more flavor, but I think the flavor impact of our 6x60s is what sold us on it. The blends that we have just show extremely well in that large ring gauge, and they also show beautifully in the 5x54. So after we played with everything, those were the two that really stood out to us, and we decided that they just made sense, and it didn't really make a lot of sense to offer them in other sizes.
And some of those also are, you have the 5x54 and the 6x60 in each blend, but you also have box press in a couple of blends also.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, okay. And so we decided to go, you know, with the Last Rites and the Redemption to be offered in a box press, which I personally think they show beautifully. Not only do they smoke great, but it's a beautiful looking cigar. So yeah, I mean, in the future, you know, when we do add to the line and we add new blends, who's to say what Vitolas they'll come out in? You know, we're not stuck with the 5x54 and 6x60. If it smokes better, you know, in whatever, in a Lancero, we'll put out a Lancero if that's what we need to do. You know, so we just want to keep it limited to what makes sense.
That makes sense. That rhymes. So, you know, a lot of people have asked, and I hopefully I don't quote this wrong, but MSRP for all the black labels is approximately, was it $13 or $14? Tell me if I'm wrong there. What's the MSRP?
No, so the average line, the regular line, which is going to be Royalty, Benediction, Salvation, Redemption and Lawless. Retail-wise, the 5x54s are going to be $9,950. 6x60s are around $11. Okay. Last Rites, which is the limited production, the 5x54 is in like the $12 range. 6x60 is going to be around $14. So.
Okay, got it. All right. So, okay, good. So I was wrong about that. So.
And I know you guys have been trying to figure out distribution. I've seen a few things on that. I understand that now they're available or about to be available at That Cigar Place in Houston. Is there anywhere else where the viewers can go check it out?
Or yeah, right about now, That Cigar Place in Houston just received their order yesterday, and they just hit Crescent City Cigars in New Orleans as well. So, and those guys were actually two of our biggest supporters early out of the gate, and so they were the first to receive it. It's growing. You know, we have tons of retailers that are going to be picking them up. So gradually over the next month or so, you're going to be seeing them in a lot of retail shops. So yeah, we are just now hitting market literally this week. So.
And all the viewers and listeners can go check out you on Twitter at BLTC Cigar, BLTC _cigars, to hear about the next store that's getting them in stock.
Exactly, and just check out our website as well. You know, we're going to have a full list of retailers on there. If you're interested in trying them, go to your local B&M and, you know, tell them. We'll be happy to send them some samples and get them in their shop as well. So.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, we've been getting a lot of questions in the chat, and I think we've got about 20 to 25 members of Cigar Federation watching, and usually 3 to 4 times that just lurking because apparently they're too good to join Cigar Federation and sign in. But we've been getting a lot of questions, and Matt's been stockpiling them. So, Matt, I'm just going to mute my mic, just rapid fire all your questions.
All right. So we'll call this like a lightning round, James. So I'm just going to throw questions at you, and you answer, and we'll go on to the next one. So I touched on this earlier. A lot of people have been checking out your site, which I believe just went live today. It actually looks really good as someone kind of who does something like that for a living. And apparently in looking through your gallery and all the pictures, everyone's seeing a lot of kind of BLTC branded merchandise. Somebody's talking about an ashtray or a ring, I think somebody mentioned. Are those for sale or any plans to kind of sell swag, so to speak, in addition to the cigars, or is that kind of in the future maybe?
Yeah, no, there is plenty of BLTC swag that will be out there. We have T-shirts, we have patches, we will be doing ashtrays as well. And all of that's going to be, we have a store that's going to be up on the site probably by the end of the week. So check back with that, and we'll have it all up there and available. We're also doing custom cutter. We just got the prototype for that today, so... Yeah, there's going to be plenty of skulls and crowns and all that good stuff out there for people to stock up on.
Everybody likes skulls and crowns and stuff. All right. Next question is, we talked about the branding kind of along the same lines. Did you guys do that yourself, or did you farm that out to a company or a friend? Who handled kind of the art behind Black Label Trading?
I developed the skull and the crown. We knew we wanted that to be the main focus of the logo, all the branding and all of that. And then we worked with a designer, Sarah Nelson Designs, and she kind of refined it a little bit, you know, worked with the scroll work and kind of got it exactly where we wanted it to be. So we had a lot of ideas, very similar to what we have now, but thankfully, Sarah came in and refined it exactly to what it is now, which is our ultimate goal. So,
awesome. What were so? Did you encounter kind of any hurdles trying to you know? I understand you were, you know, with your kind of day job, and fell in love with, you know, Central America and decided to kind of enter the cigar industry. What hurdles did you kind of encounter after you, you decided and with Eric decided, all right, we want to start a cigar company?
Yeah, there's plenty, that's for sure. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, you have a million ideas of what you want something to be, and then you kind of have to start toning that down to what reality is. And, you know, we started out with a lot of ideas that didn't work out. You know, little things like labels and boxes and, you know, for us to find a printer that would actually emboss the amount of detail we wanted on our bands was, you know, took forever. And, you know, we've been through countless amounts of labels and things like that. So it was a lot of the production, you know, the production of refining what we want and keeping it to the standard that we want. You know, it took a long time to find the right people to do it. And so in that regard, yeah. And I can tell you now, our biggest mistake was for our first batch of cigars, we just didn't make enough. So it's, you know, it's definitely a learning curve, and we're going day by day and, you know, learning what to do, you know, do it better and more efficient, I guess, is really what we're striving for.
What is, all right, so I'll ask kind of two questions. One is, I know that they're available at Crescent City and that cigar place. Is there anywhere, I don't know if you know this, if anywhere online that viewers can go purchase them currently, or anywhere online that, you know, might be in the horizon in the very near future?
Not as of yet, no. And we're looking at online. Obviously, we're not going to be in any of the major big, you know, online discount type places. That's not what we're all about. But it's our thing is we really want to support local B&Ms. I mean, you know, we're all in this business together, and you know, it's we appreciate them, you know, and hopefully as much as they appreciate us, and so we want to support them as much as we can. So we, you know, in the future, I think we may offer online, but it would only be to states where we're not represented in a local B&M. And currently, if people are interested, that cigar place in Crescent City, they do mail order sales as well. So even if you're not in Texas or Louisiana, you can still contact them and pick up the cigars.
Excellent. What's we're running low on time. What's next for you guys? You kind of see how the market takes to these six blends and kind of determine next, or do you already have something waiting in the wings that you're just waiting to come to us with?
Yeah, no, we have probably by January, February, we plan to release two new cigars. It's up in the air whether they'll be kind of in line with the six blends that we have now in terms of being just Black Label Trading Company. We may look at developing something else. But we have two cigars, two blends that we're working on that we're super excited about and just ready to get out there. So, yeah, we'll see where the next, you know, few months take us, but we're definitely ready to keep moving on and put some new smokes out there. We have plenty in the wings and lots of ideas that we're working on to keep things new and interesting.
Blends in the hopper. You got to have them. You got to have them, dude. So,
yeah.
Blends in the hopper. So, Matt, any more questions before we get to all important, the giveaway?
No, let's get to, we're getting a lot of, so there were a lot of questions early asking for price points, and then there are a lot of questions about, you know, where can people buy these, and a lot of offers to do your bidding in local B&Ms. Mr. Bill says he goes to three shops in Vegas a day, so he'll do all your bidding in Vegas if you need.
Perfect.
But I think we're ready for the giveaway if you want, Logan.
Let's do it. So James and Eric were kind enough to send us a few 5-packs, which we're actually giving away through today. You know, to follow them, that actually goes on until tonight at midnight, well, 11:59, to get them a little bit of love and social, get them some followers so they can hopefully directly connect with you guys. But tonight we have two boxes, And because Rob's not here, even though Rob always has influence, even though he's not here, we're going to be giving away one box tonight. And then we're going to do something very cool next week and give away the other box, because I know there's a lot of people that wanted to come to the show tonight that couldn't do so. So, Matt, I know you've been in, you know, getting people to sign up. Do you want me to pick the name, or do you want to do that?
No, so I'll give you a number. I'll give James a range, 1 to 26. 1 to 26, James, and you just pick a number, 1 to 26. That will be the winner of the prize.
13.
13. All right. The winner is, I can't believe this, Mrs. 007.
No.
Mrs. 007.
Oh.
My first contest. What do you want me to do? I just gave James a range. I can't. I know. It's not my fault who he picked.
I know. Well, when in Rome, right? I don't think that really applies in the situation, but whatever. So, Tina, congrats. I know that you're pregnant, so your weasel husband will be smoking all of them, but that's fine. And by the way, I know you guys are going to come up and hang out at my house in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to be shipping them. You'll just have to come here and get them, because I'm tapped out after shipping all those Project Mignogna winnings. Holy shit. I'll just say, a side note, next year, Matt, they're getting sent to you, because I am not shipping that stuff out.
I still need to send you money for my half of that. I'll do that later.
Yeah, once I get the final total, we'll go from there. So, you know, James, we appreciate you coming on. We've kept you just about an hour, and we actually started on time today because Rob wasn't here. So let's do kind of a final run. Tell everyone that's listening on the podcast or listening online or watching this on YouTube later tonight into the future, you know, where they can find you, in social, and anything else you want to do a final shout out for.
Yeah, so definitely check us out on Facebook. There's always new cool stuff on there. Same with Twitter. And like I said, our website just came up, so keep checking back with that. The store should be up later this week, and you know, we always have new info and stuff going on there. We'll be having a list of retailers as well where you can find the smokes. So definitely check back with that. Yeah, that's about it. Thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, James. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you, James. So thank you, everyone, for coming out to our latest episode of Cigar Chat. Next week we'll be back on Thursday, same time, same place. And I believe that we're going to have Cigar Dojo, so we're going to be mixing it up. Not a company, but another brand and blog with Eric and his crew. So come check it out. So, you know, as always, Logan with Cigar Federation, Logan at Dell on Twitter, a.k.a. Corporate Monkey, and then Matt S. Ross 81 on Twitter, and then Matty Blaze everywhere else. I think.
Something like that.
All right. Well, everyone, appreciate you guys coming out. Look forward to seeing you next week. James, appreciate you taking the time. Everyone have a good night. Safe weekend. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Good night. Thank you.